Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. GEICO's been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with GEICO, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. More power to you. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Can he do it again? Mike did it. Billy stops. Pops. Billy, get here again. A back-to-back dunks. Oh! 1.5 seconds. No timeouts. Tyreek.
Gets a touch. He helped out.
Oh, that is a man's jam. DeMarcus Cousins nearly brought down the backboard and rim.
You're now listening to the Kings Court Podcast, presented by SackKingsNation.com.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. GEICO's been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with GEICO, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. More power to you. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Welcome to the Kings Court Podcast. This is your host, Joe Morgan. As always, it's me and my main man, Vince Miracle. Vince, what are you doing today, brother?
What am I doing? Joe, we're doing a podcast, bro. It's been forever. How are you?
It has been like a week and a half. I mean, you know, for those of you who don't know.
2 weeks.
Yeah. I guess you're right. It has been a full 2 weeks. For those of you who don't know us well enough, me and Vince talk every day. So it's really weird not to record. And so we're both pretty stoked to have the record button pushed, to have our thoughts going out to all you guys out there, and to actually have this conversation, you know, going live. It's been a pretty wild couple weeks, man. We got, an almost arrest. We got some media things going on, we'll say. There's a lot of stuff in the world that's been happening. And all I want to do is talk about Kings basketball, not all the peripheral nonsense. But it's hard to ignore it all. Man, there's been a lot of weird stuff going on.
Yeah, so like you said, you have the Kings and their star player and their veteran, you know, drinking and having too much fun in NYC. And then you got some people, you know, talking about media stuff that we're not going to really touch on because I think that's a sensitive subject.
Not at all our business.
Definitely not a part of. And then you have, although what we could talk about is the fact that, you know, DeMarcus Cousins potentially could be seeing a fine or something from the NBA, according to Sam Amick of USA Today. But until some news come out about that, we're not going to really talk about it. And then Joe, that benefits you is the Kings. Until tonight's game, we're recording this show on Sunday after the Kings take a huge loss to the Dallas Mavericks. If they would have won that game, they would have been tied for the 8th seed in the Western Conference and then facing the team they would need to beat so that they could own the 8th seed outright. But
That's a lot of ifs, and then to lose, to not get more than 79 points against what I consider the worst team in the NBA, and you'll say Philly. But they were tied for the worst record up until tonight. To not be able to get 80 points against the Dallas Mavericks, I know rec league teams that could get 80 points against the Dallas Mavericks. Like, I don't understand this team. It's so hard to watch them when they beat the Grizzlies, a team that they shouldn't be able to compete against as well as they did, and they did an amazing job, and then they turn around. And they give Dallas, we can't score any. Here you go. You can win now.
Yeah, no, I don't know what it was. It felt like the Kings, first off, they went back to their old ways of starting off the game slow, and they could never just recover. And you're right. The fact that they didn't even score 80 points against a team that was tied with the Philadelphia 76ers in wins per game until tonight's loss. It's just ridiculous. I mean, they're worse than them on defense, ranked 23rd in the NBA compared to the Kings 22nd in the NBA. I mean, not that big of a difference, but pretty big difference. But to have Darren Williams look like Utah Darren Williams, like
Darren Williams, like, getting called out by the announcers as being good, and you're watching that going, what year is this? Where am I? What's happening right now?
I thought Darren Williams was like, people forget, it was literally just like 3-4 years ago when everyone was looking at Darren Williams, they were like, is he better than Chris Paul? Is Darren Williams the best point guard in the league? That conversation never happens anymore. That conversation never happens, and now, like, you made it look like that conversation should be.
Well, if he played the Kings every night, he would be.
The Kings have been up and down, Joe. They have definitely been up and down. But let's go ahead and get into topic number one, because I think this is becoming a topic that we definitely need to touch on, and that is the fact, you know, and I talked about it on Twitter a little bit about the fact that the Kings, they're struggling this year. They have, what, 10 wins on the season, but even with those struggles, they have found a way to still be in the playoff hunt. I think that's mainly just due to the fact that the Western Conference has been very poor this year. I might get a lot of hate for this, but honestly, I was talking to a former co-host of the show, Drew Runberg, just the other day. Shout out to Drew. The Golden State Warriors have really ruined the NBA this year. I mean, even with the playoffs coming up, like, what is the playoffs? I mean, there's no real entertaining matchup until maybe the conference finals in the West. If you have the Warriors and what, the Spurs, the Rockets? I mean, the Warriors are just too good. The Cavs are just too good in the East. So there's really no battle that you're really watching for. Honestly, Joe, I've had more fun watching the development teams. I've had more fun watching Denver. I've had more fun watching the Philadelphia 76ers than I have been watching the Sacramento Kings. And that's been sad to say, but with that all being said, my question to you is this, and this can be the topic of our first conversation here, is with the Kings struggling so much, are you and the person who made the bet of if the Kings make the playoffs, you're going to jump back in the river. Are you seeing a change in this team? Are you seeing an identity with this team now that they've gained 10 wins and now that they're battling for the 8th seed in the West?
You know, I'm not going to use the words battling for the 8th seed. They might accident into the 8th seed. They're not battling for it. If this was a battle, if this was a battle, they've all lost. They've all lost the battle. They might trip into it. It might happen, but I don't. My faith has been absolutely destroyed. But more importantly, I've had a dramatic shift in how I feel about this, and I've said this for a while, but now I'm finally seeing it from a different light. I don't want this team to make the 8th seed. I don't want this team to just squeak into the playoffs, lose their draft pick because they aren't in the bottom 10, and just continue on this mediocre, barely make it, don't make it 8th seed nonsense. Either have some dramatic things happen, and I don't want to say tank. I don't mean intentionally lose games, but either dramatically shift this team to looking at we're going to build over the next 3 years to get to the 3 or 4 seed, or really put in some contention and try to get to the 8 this year. But it just doesn't look like that. It doesn't look like this team can't play against the Denver Nuggets. I mean,
Don't hate on the Denver Nuggets. The Denver Nuggets look nice. I don't care what anybody says. They have their problems with being like, it's your turn basketball. Like, that's their mentality right now. And you could tell, like, Gary Harris. Oh, it's my turn. I think Gary Harris on the floor makes the ball movement, so let me take that back. Emmanuel Mudiay, hey, it's my turn to score. Move out the way. Wilson Chandler, hey, it's my turn to score. Move out the way. They're finally beginning to start Nikola Jokic, who has been playing great in his starts already. I think it's back-to-back 5-assist nights. And he hasn't even been playing 20 minutes yet. So wait till he can start playing 20 minutes and he can avoid foul trouble. He's an up-and-coming, maybe even potentially better Marc Gasol. I'm really excited to see what he's going to do. But that team looks good. Michael Malone is doing really good things out there in Denver. So do not hate on that team. Hey, it would not surprise
That was a pretty bold statement to say he might be a better Marc Gasol. I like how he's coming up in the league, but that's a pretty bold comparison.
Talent. Did you see the no-look he did to Kenneth Faried? My God.
Nothing happened yesterday in the NBA except for what Russell Westbrook did on that one dime he passed off where he just embarrassed the guy. That was just – I don't even know if anything else happened in the NBA. That's the only highlight worth putting on TV. The rest of the league didn't even go to work that day. He just made people look dumb, and it proved who he was. But
is Brooke Lopez still alive? I just want to know.
Did you see his game today?
I don't know what he did today.
Bro, he beasted today. You must have missed it. But yeah, Brooke Lopez is alive and kicking because he is.
Okay.
He had a day today. Heard. If you're a FanDuel player and you had Brooke Lopez, you're counting your money right now.
Okay, I was just wondering because Larry Nance ruined his life in Brooklyn. Yeah. Oh my God, Larry Nance Jr. That dunk should be put on a T-shirt. My goodness, that was the highlight of your career right there. He did the nastiest dunk of 2016.
People talk about getting put on a poster. Yeah, you're gonna get put on a T-shirt, bro. Like that was pretty ugly. But I still all nonsense aside, I don't see anything that happened in the whole NBA yesterday except for that Russell Westbrook embarrassing people. It was just too much. It was too much to watch. Even, like, you can watch it 20 times, and every time you're like, did that just happen? That didn't just happen.
So, yeah. Back on the topic, though. So, with the Kings, you're completely off. You don't trust them anymore is what you're saying. How's a better way? I just want to know if you're seeing an identity with this team. That's the only way I can phrase this question.
Yeah, but the identity of this team is no. The identity, I mean, no, I don't see, what? I don't, no, let me put this a different way. I don't see a consistent identity. I start to see one. I start to see something coming together. I start to see them, oh, man, they're going to play Garrett at the two. They're doing this. They're doing that. It's working well. And then it doesn't happen the next game. There's no consistency. They're starting to see an identity, I guess, but there's zero consistency. And without consistency, you can never, ever have a good team in the NBA.
Yeah, see, for me, like when I look at the Sacramento Kings and how they're playing right now, I see sparkles of hope. Sparkles. Like literally the sparkles you see. I was going to make a very bad joke there, Joe. I had to stop myself. I was going to say sparkles that you see at a late night club that only guys like to go to, if you get my drift. About $20 going, and on Tuesdays they have special occasions out here in Sacramento. Why do I know that? I don't know. I don't know that. We're probably going to delete this section. But anyways, here we go.
I'm leaving in the I'm here for the chicken wing segment.
It's a strip club, guys. That was the joke. Here we go. It's been a while since we podcast, Joe. Sorry. Anyways, I've seen sparkles of hope from this team. And the only sparkle of hope I've seen came from really one player, and that's Garrett Temple. I think that he's finally showing what we've been saying all along, is that he needs to be a starter. I mean, how long have I been saying that, Joe? You were kind of like, oh, I don't know, and then you kind of grew to it. And now the Kings are growing to it. They're like, oh, yeah, he should be a starter. And I 100% agree. I think he and Darren Collison in the backcourt is going to bring a defensive grit while also being two decent offensive weapons that can continue to keep the offense going. I think what you're seeing right now with the recent struggles is that the team is truly missing Rudy Gay, which brought up our big question. Unfortunately, guys, we didn't get the guest that we wanted. Scheduling issues and things that are kind of changing in the positive direction for this show. Excuse me. And we'll probably make that announcement at the end of the show or on next week's show of what's currently happening. But after Christmas break, we're going to have something new happen to the show that's really, really cool. So stay tuned for that. But I think what you're seeing is that they're starting to find their identity. And I think what their identity is Dave Yeager's system. Now, whether that is good or not, I think is a question mark, because I'm not fully trusting in Kosta Koufos. I think Kosta Koufos is a good fit right now in certain situations, but he's not a good fit, if that makes any sense. Like, he makes sense at times on the floor. He does not make sense to be the starter full time and getting the majority of the minutes next to DeMarcus Cousins. I don't see that as a good fit at all. I think he's better as a backup. But it brought up that question, though, right? can the Kings be functional without Rudy Gay? The Kings don't have Rudy Gay right now. I don't think they're functional, and I think that's where you're seeing their biggest problems as of right now. But they have glimmers of hope. They have sparkles of hope right now, and it's through Jaeger's system. The problem is I don't think they have the correct players to run Jaeger's system as I once thought. You're seeing guys like Willie Cauley-Stein truly struggle. Omri Caspi, he's been hit or miss, but really statistically he's been a struggle. And that's pretty unfortunate because I was pretty high on Willie Cauley-Stein. And all you guys know this. I've said Cauley-Stein. After the draft, I thought that the Kings should have traded down if they really wanted Willie Cauley-Stein because I like guys like Justice Winslow and Miles Turner a lot more. But if they got Willie Cauley-Stein, he grew on me last season. But I think that a lot of people brought out, whether it be James Hamm, Aaron Brewski, the Sacktown Royalty guys, is it that Willie Cauley-Stein was better in George Karl's system because that's what he was used to in Kentucky? Up and down, running, shot blocking. That's exactly what he was doing. This year, he has to be more robotic. And I think that's the best way you can phrase it. I think that he has to be more mechanical with whatever he's doing because the Kings run the same exact system every single time, the same exact game plan. Get the ball, give it to the big man. He either goes left or right, gets that back screen, and the ball goes down there to the other player, and whether it be the guard or DeMarcus Cousins or out to the wing, and then they reset and they do it all over again. You're starting to see the system unfold. Unfortunately, again, I just don't think they have the right players, but I do think they're starting to form an identity, and I think that's why they're still in the hunt for the eighth seed.
Where I'm going to disagree there is I don't think that they're in the hunt because of anything they're doing. I think they're in the hunt because the Western Conference is absolutely – and I say the Western Conference. That's a lie. The bottom half of the Western Conference is just playing atrocious basketball right now. There's nobody below the four that – oh, man. It's just ugly. And I say the West, but really both conferences have a very, very top-heavy league. The one and the two in the East and the one through the four, maybe a few more in the East, but bear with me. It's just the idea that once you get below a certain point, everybody's equally bad. and that doesn't mean that you should celebrate the fact that you're a playoff team. It's that nobody else has taken over and become the playoff team that actually deserves it.
Well, I mean, like the eighth seed right now, and I mean, you're right. The eighth seed right now in the West has 13 wins, and the eighth seed in the East has 13 wins. I mean, you look at the bottom half of each conference, it's bad. But what have we said so many times before, though, Joe? The Kings play up to the standards that they need to. They never exceed anything, and that's been their biggest issue is they always play to whatever level that comes into the arena, right? Like when they play against the Spurs, they always play better because it's better talent. They show up for the occasion. When they play against the Philadelphia 76ers or the Dallas Mavericks, they can't crack 80 points. And that's what you're seeing right now. It's like they're doing what they need to do to get by. And that, I think that's where their biggest problems are. They're not playing at a consistent high level every single night. And if they can figure out how to do that, and I think that it's going to come down to a move, whether that be a move with Rudy Gay, whether that means a move with DeMarcus Cousins, whether that means a move with any of these other guys, I think that has to be a question mark that they have to answer sooner rather than later. Because guess what, Joe? We are closing in on the NBA trade deadline. It's less than 2 months away. It's right around the corner here, and I really think that with – Rudy Gay being out now, you see what you have. I think this is now the time that the Kings have to capitalize on figuring out what they should be able to keep and what they need to be looking for in return for Rudy Gay before they're just letting him walk for nothing, or that's just the path they're going to go upon. But the thing is that, and we've talked about this so many times as well, the biggest problem with trading Rudy Gay is there's a question mark is if he's going to re-sign with any team or if he's going to opt out and try and get more money. And do the Kings really want to make the eighth seed this year? And I think those are two heavy questions. I don't know what's out there. I really don't know what's out there for a guy like Rudy Gay right now. And honestly, my biggest bet and the thing that I think is going to happen, this is my prediction. I don't have any sources. I'm not hearing this from anybody. This is what I think is going to happen. Joe, you let me know if you agree with me or not. And this is the trade that I think should happen. The Minnesota Timberwolves are struggling. They are struggling a lot more than I expected. I think a lot more than a lot of people expected. I thought they were going to be the eighth seed in the Western Conference. They've been struggling a lot. They need a veteran talent. Now, is Rudy Gay that veteran talent? I don't know, but there have been a lot of links between the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Sacramento Kings. Mutual interest, at least from the Kings side, I should say. At least Kings having interest in Ricky Rubio. Andrew Wiggins is good as a small forward. He has played shooting guard before. I think it'd be smart to move him back up, have a veteran at the three, and have Rudy Gay play that position, and also give up a guy like Kostas Koufos. And I think if you pair Rudy Gay and Kostas Koufos, the Kings can retain Ricky Rubio and Shabazz Muhammad, and then waive Ty Lawson before his contract becomes guaranteed. Now, I know I'm going to get a lot of hate for that. I think Ty Lawson has played a lot better with his energy, and defensively he's brought a lot of energy. I just still don't see him being a good fit with the Sacramento Kings right now. He's not knocking down wide open shots. He's passing up open looks. And so that's been a huge problem with this team so far. I just don't think he fits what this team is trying to do. And I think that if you have Ricky Rubio, Darren Collison, and Garrett Temple splitting the minutes at the point guard, shooting guard, I think that's smart. And I think that's an idea that they can look at. And I think Shabazz Muhammad is a capable three that's young that can be a starter until they can get a starter in the draft if they choose to. Or if they want to battle for the eighth seed, I think he's capable of being a starter as well. But that's the only thing that I can come up with. I did not look at contracts. I did not look at anything like that. But you know what? While you're talking, I'll look that up. But let me hear your thoughts on something like that, or if there's been any ideas of what you think the Kings should try and retain for a guy like Rudy Gay. Because just to let Kings fans out there know right now, you will not get a first-round draft pick for Rudy Gay at all. It's not going to happen.
Well, you're certainly not going to get a lottery pick. You might be able to pull off something later, closer to the deadline. But really, what it comes down to, and I see this echoed over and over through all the, you know, the talking heads on all the different shows and all the different places, is it all comes down to who makes the first move. Which of these big teams is going to make the first move? And much like free agency, once the first contract is signed, then you see just an explosion of 50 other ones. And I think the same thing's going to happen with the trades. As soon as one big trade happens, then everybody else is gonna move off of that. So who's going to be the first one to make that move? And you're talking about Rudy. I can see Minnesota. I can see Oklahoma City. I can see a lot of different places. But
Oklahoma City would love Rudy Gay. I just think now that they gave up Ersan Ilyasova, they really have nothing unless the Kings are like, hey, why not get Anthony Morrow, who's basically Anthony Tolliver?
No, I'm not even looking at assets right now so much as what teams would want him. And there's a lot of, you know, I mean, there are three-way deals. There are so many different ways that trades can happen. But you just it's hard to guess what's going on behind the scenes because there are so many options. There are so many places that Rudy would fit. And like, you know, Oklahoma would love to have him. Minnesota would love to have him. I can, you know, you could go down the list of teams here and a whole bunch of them would benefit from having Rudy Gay on their roster. But when are the Kings going to be ready to move him? Are they ready to move him? Or are they just going to take the loss at the end of the year and keep him and keep the value of how much he can provide to the team this year? And that's, you know, again, that's yet to be seen. But after that first big move, a lot of things will start to come clear. And you just wait for which team is going to pull the trigger first. Which teams are going to be the ones who make that very first deal? And when that happens, everything will start to either happen like a landslide. And I think kind of waiting that out is very hard as anybody watching the NBA. As a fan of any team, it's hard to wait and see, oh my God, what are these guys going to do? Because you were talking about it earlier, how the Golden State Warriors kind of ruined it. Yeah, but there's a couple teams that they had one piece and they could compete. You talk about
name a team in the West that can compete against the Warriors when the Warriors are trying.
Well,
name one team.
The Clippers.
Yeah, when they get beat by 30.
I'm not saying that they could win every game, but I'm saying they could certainly make it a better show if they had one more piece.
I mean, they're the team that I think should be going after Rudy Gay as hard as possible, but are you really giving up a late, very late first-round pick and nothing else for Rudy Gay? I mean, maybe Wes Johnson, if that's good enough. Maybe Allen Anderson, is that good enough? Really, I don't think so. And just so you guys know, that trade that I just proposed, I just now looked it up on the NBA trade machine. So again, take it with a grain of salt. It does come up successful. Rudy Gay and Costa Kufis for Ricky Rubio and Shabazz Muhammad. I think the Kings should really consider doing that deal. But at the same time, it has to be mutual. And I don't know if the Wolves are considering moving Ricky Rubio at all, because I don't know if they trust Zach LaVine to run the point guard spot.
You know how many trade machine things you see, though, coming across on the internet? They're all just guesses until something happens. And it's
take it with a grain of salt.
Well, yeah. It's so hard to even guess because, again, name the last times anybody in the league did a trade machine thing and then it turned out to be real. I can't think of one.
Actually, I can name one, and I can't remember the dude who did it. I know he covers the Toronto Raptors. He made this weird deal up that did the Rudy Gay trade before the Rudy Gay trade actually happened.
Huh.
Like he was just a blogger, a Toronto blogger. I remember reading it and he tweeted it to me. And I was like, no, there's no way that happens. That's way too many players, blah, 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 blah. It happened. I was like, whoa, it happened. He was right. Wow.
But you know, you understand my overreaching point is that the odds of any of us getting it right until something starts to happen, until we start to see what the landscape becomes after the first big trade or even the second big trade, then you start seeing the rest of these pieces start moving around.
All right, guys, we're going to pause the show right here to give a shout-out to our sponsor. I know it's Christmas time, so guess what? You guys could be looking for some new apparel for your family and friends. So everyone go to BrickHouseIndustries.com and check out their hats, shirts, and socks. And when checking out, use promo code KingsCourt, and you will get a 10% discount on any of your purchases. And, hey, if you want to keep up to date with all of their newest apparel, go ahead and follow them on Instagram and on Twitter at BrickHouse_IND. Joe, guess what? Because I'm your friend, because I love you so much, you're almost like a brother to me, maybe even like an older brother because you're really old, but I bought you a shirt to keep you hip and cool at BrickHouse_IND on Twitter. Yeah, that's right. I messaged the BrickHouse Industries guys on Twitter. They sent me straight to the link of where I could find the shirt that I wanted to get Joe, and bam, they sent me right there. They're really nice over there. You can tweet at them. They'll send you the links. Again, use promo code KingsCourt on any of your purchases to get that 10% discount. And go check them out today. Bam. Joe, what'd you get me for Christmas?
Well, nothing after the old guy comment. It's getting returned right now. In fact, I'm on Amazon right now. Cancel order.
Oh, man. At least I know it's coming from Amazon. Thank you. Speaking of Amazon, remember when I announced that I won that thing on FanDuel? Still ain't got it yet. It's coming soon, and when I get it, don't worry. I'll post it on Twitter, and we'll have like a little live show about it or something, because I'll be very excited. Oh, also, guys, in our two-week time that we've been apart, fun fact, Joe Morgan has finally played NBA 2K. How'd it go for you, Joe?
Well, I mean, I got worked over because I didn't know the buttons, and the guy playing against me may play it quite often. I won't say when.
Who'd you play?
I played this guy named Vince, who apparently spends half of his life playing NBA 2K.
Yep.
And
how was that?
I had a rough run. I actually won the game, but only because we switched teams.
What?
We switched teams with a few minutes left, because I was losing by so much that I bet I could come back, and so we switched controllers, and so technically I ended with the winning score. So
yeah,
I won my very first 2K game, but we'll say by very unique circumstances of a mid-game trade to the other franchise.
And I almost won, though. Like, I was making a comeback. I was playing full-court defense. I was really trying to make the comeback. It didn't happen.
I feel like my father, the first time he ever came into my room and tried to play, like, Mortal Kombat or something against me, and he's just mashing buttons. You know, years and years ago when I had a video game system. And, you know,
Was that Atari? Was TV black and white back then?
Yeah,
I don't know.
You had to put a quarter in, and you had to be I can't even think of where video games would be at. The disco?
There's such a nice age difference between us, Joe, that I love that we can do these little, like, different types of jokes, because my video games are probably so much more high-techy than your video games. Like, I just picture you in your room with just the nozzle, and you're playing, like, Tetris, and you have to just push that one button to change it.
I can tell you this, dude.
Literally just Atari.
I can tell you that I'm so happy.
Was Doug your favorite game?
I'm so happy I grew up in the generation before yours, because if I would have had, let's say, Skyrim, if I would have had that game as a kid, I never would have done any schoolwork. I mean, I don't know how these kids pull away from this stuff. It's amazing. You don't play football. You own a franchise. They live in your television. You tell them what to do. It's crazy. It's not the same. You know, we had a Tecmo Bowl was the, and you could pick, like, A button was pass and B button was a run, and that was it. I mean, those were your choices. There was no, it's crazy. It's so much more fun now. It's, I can see how a kid could really get wrapped up in it. So I'm very glad that I no longer have a system.
Thanks for talking about video games for a minute with me, Joe. It made my heart feel so much more full to hear an old man talk about video games in today's day and age.
Call me old, too. I'm in my 30s for all of you listening. I'm not, like, dead or anything. Good God.
No, he's not. I don't walk with a cane
or anything.
No, he walked with a walker. What are you talking about? Joe.
I got a rascal. I'm going to the Kings game in a rascal. All right, let's get back to business here, Turbo, with your video game talking, damn whippersnappers.
Oh, it's been so long. I forget how cool this microphone is in front of my mouth. It gives me so much room for ammo that either sometimes hit or sometimes they suck. But still, they work, and they make me laugh, and that's all that matters. And I hope they make you laugh out there. You guys let me know if they've made you laugh at VM Center on Twitter. He's at Sack Sports, but him, Morgan on Twitter. I can't even talk because I'm still laughing. Anyways, Joe, we have to talk about this subject before we go into Kings Week, and that is the fact that DeMarcus Cousins and Matt Barnes are maybe having some certain legal issues right now, and you can even talk about slightly, we're not going to get into it a lot, and I think rightfully so that we shouldn't, but it's led into a little bit of this journalistic way of covering players and things like that. So let's look at the first part of this, because we haven't got to talk about it yet. What were your thoughts, or what have been your thoughts now that you've got to look over it a little bit more instead of giving initial reactions? What are your thoughts on the whole situation between Matt Barnes and Marcus Cousins and that club in NYC?
Well, I think two grown men after a hard day of work should be allowed to go to a club. I have no problem with that aspect of it. I hear a lot of people saying things like, oh, why are they out drinking and partying? Hey, man, have you ever had a drink after a hard day's work? I have. So I don't consider that. You know, I think that's silly. But at the same time, this is the second incident where DeMarcus has been involved in something in a club that was an altercation. This is the second time. Well, I'm not going to get into the Matt Barnes thing, but let's just say, you know, I still don't have enough information to make an educated opinion on who is wrong here, because there's going to be club video. There has to be. What club in the world doesn't have video of what's going on? So why has that not been released yet? Why don't we know exactly what happened inside that building when that happens?
We do. We know what happens, but we're hearing two separate sides of the story.
No, that's what I mean. Why don't I have video evidence yet of what happened?
The only video, I don't think you're ever going to see the video evidence. I think what you're going to see how this is going to play out is victim A, which is, you know, the people that are going to try and sue Matt Barnes, DeMarcus Cousins. They're like, hey, this is what they did. I'm the victim. Then you have DeMarcus Cousins and Matt Barnes over here like, no. They were antagonizing us. They were probably bumping into us the whole entire time. They were trying to start something because, you know, they wanted something to pop off for something like this to happen. And honestly, this is my mindset. And this is me being young, being at a club before recently, not in New York City, but just in general. You have the VIP section. I've been in a VIP section, happily to say that I have been. It's really cool. And you have those people that want to get in. They're going to continue to try and be like, hey, let me try and get in there. Let me try and get a free drink. Hey, blah, blah, blah. Now think if you're a celebrity. You have these guys like, oh, hey, it's DeMarcus. Hey, let me in. Like probably no. Matt Barnes probably sitting on the railing where the rope is. And probably like, hey, getting bumped. I'm not going to lie to you, Joe. This is 100% true. You guys can judge me if you want to. I've been bumped one time where I bumped back pretty hard to let them know, get off me. Like, just get off me. I've asked you to stop, then you do it again, and then you say stop. And sometimes you bump the wrong person, and then that causes an altercation, and I'm not going to lie to you, I've been in an altercation because of it. And is that a good thing? No, but I'm just saying it's happened before. Like you said, Joe, I think these are grown men. I think they're going to work. It's going to work out in a certain way. Now, maybe there was, you know, boundaries that were overstepped from maybe Matt Barnes' side, according to certain reports. Again, we don't know that. We're going to see how it plays out. But my initial reactions right now is I don't think we can jump to judge anything at all, because there have been a lot of things leading up to that point as well. I mean, the Philadelphia Sixers game, where the game was completely, you know, shut down. It got rescheduled to a different time. Now the Kings are going to be on, like, I believe, gone for like 13 days on the road, something like that, because of an eight-game road trip. Then you saw Matt Barnes' Snapchat, and he's just drinking in the locker room, and people are judging him and DeMarcus on that. I don't really see that being a big deal. Like you said, they're grown men. They're on the road. They're packing what they bring with them, but what they want to drink, what they want to eat in their bags. And if it just so happens to be like, hey, we're not playing, my job is over, before I get on a plane, I want to relax. Joe, have you ever been in an airport? You go to the bar real quick and say, hey, can I have a shot real quick to relax yourself? That's exactly what they're doing. Hey, we're relaxing a little bit. We're hanging out. We're with friends or my teammates. I want to drink a little bit before we get on. Nothing. That's not a big deal. I don't see that being an issue at all. So, honestly, I think the only side that I'm taking of it, and why I'm saying the way your people should be covering it from a journalistic side, and this is just my point of view. I'm not saying anybody's doing it the right or wrong way, although some ways that it has been approached I don't agree with. I think you just have to look at it as everyone is innocent until proven guilty. And we don't know the full story. We weren't there. We're just going off of TMZ videos. We're going off of what he said, she said. And we don't know the full story of it. And we probably won't know the full story of it until it all completely is, you know, done and has completely unfolded. And the consequences, whatever it may be, has been completely unveiled. So that's been my point of it, of the whole entire thing. I don't think I'm looking at it as either other way. I know that there was a report that Matt Barnes could be arrested, but then he wasn't going to be arrested. He finally played. Was that due to injury? I mean, there's been so many questions about this. So I think for me, I'm just going to say that those are my thoughts on it. I think those are my interpretations of what's been said. And it is basically that they're there, both of them there. Someone kept trying to bump into the VIP section. They're all talking. They bump back. It happened to bump a person on the ground. They didn't like it. They got aggressive. And the teammates defended teammates, you know, a couple defended couple, and it just got a little too serious. Again, maybe someone did something that was a little out of bounds, but again, we weren't there. We don't know. This is just what I'm thinking, and I'll basically leave it at that. Joe, unless you have anything else to add.
Well, my thoughts have been the same the whole time. Until it all comes out in the wash, which it always does, you say the video will never be released. I don't agree. In this world, you never hold – nothing ever stays secret long. Somebody has that tape. Somebody's going to let it out because somebody's going to get, you know, want their 10 minutes of fame and say, oh, I posted this out there, so whatever. It's going to come out, and then you'll see realistically who's at fault. I didn't hear a lot of what you just said when it comes to – I didn't hear from other sources, rather, you know, who bumped who or how it happened. All I heard was there was a butt bump and then there was a fight. Well, I'm not making any judgments till I see a tape. That's all there is to it. And even then, tapes can be edited. It's hard to say what happened. I don't like all the speculation. I think it's silly. I think the only time that this should even be a conversation piece is how it has affected their basketball team. How it affected their basketball team so far is, and this is even up for debate, whether or not those Matt Barnes games that he didn't play were due to that or something else. Well, even that, you know, how has it affected their attitude in the locker room? How has it affected – and those type of things can be discussed, but I don't know. I find it silly that we have all these athletes doing these things, and then all I care about is how it affects their game. How does it affect the play of your NBA franchise? And that's, you know, the authorities will take care of everything else. From a fan perspective, from a team perspective, how does this affect the final score of the Kings game versus the whoever, insert team name here? And that's that. Like I said, that's where it drives me nuts, is we see all these speculations about what's going to happen and how it's going to happen, and it's all just blind speculation, because again, until it comes out in the wash, whether it be a video or whether it just be whatever legal action comes down, it is just a guess. And so I don't know, that's, I guess, my two cents is nothing. my two cents is
I'm just waiting to put in two cents.
Well, yeah, because I hate hearing people give an opinion, a hard opinion. They would say, oh, so-and-so, so wrong. And they know nothing. They know nothing of what happened. Nothing. And yet they speak with authority. And that type of thing, it annoys me in sports, it annoys me in politics, it annoys me in life in general when people speak with this loud authority as if they know something, and they don't, and no one does. And so until it comes out, just stop. You know what I mean? Just everybody stop. It'll come out. If he's guilty of something, he'll be punished. That's how it works. That it doesn't, you know, this is not a very complex world we live in. If you've done something wrong in a society with videotape, believe me, you'll get punished for it. So when it happens, it happens. Until then, you know, watch the games.
Quickly, just quickly and very briefly, because, again, I don't want to touch on it too long, but what are your thoughts on DeMarcus Cousins' reactions to the media and the media's writings? And I mean, technically, how we do the show, the viewership of the show, which we truly appreciate being kind of big, we're part of the media, technically. What do you think, DeMarcus Cousins, the way he's been handling it and the way that, you know, the B has kind of been portraying him and kind of just this whole little back and forth that you're seeing? And you have the ones that support Boogie and you have the ones that are like, okay, Boogie should be like that. Like, where are you falling in this? Is as small and as briefly as you can be, but also like being as, you know, into it as you want to be, I guess.
So put it this way, I've obviously been following this very closely, you know, through Twitter, through every aspect I can, watching the video, all these different things, doing as much research as I can. To no avail. I think Sacktown Royalty did the best article on it, certainly the best title. There are no heroes here. No one's right. Now, in a story...
Shout out to Greg Wisinger.
Yeah, again, it was a really good article.
He's been a guest on the show. Yeah, he's been a guest on the show. He's awesome.
But the concept is, you're writing about a club fight and you bring up another club fight. Is that within journalistic standards? Yeah, of course it is. I don't see how DeMarcus was even mad about that. Now, what went on behind the scenes beyond that, I don't know. And again, it's a second version of I don't know, and I don't like speculating on it. But I can tell you this, nobody wins from this. The media looks stupid. The team looks stupid. The player looks stupid. Everybody involved has a very negative outcome of this. Nobody is going to win this fight. It's just who's going to lose it the most. Who's going to lose the most out of this? Who's going to get the biggest thing? Is Boogie going to get a fine now? Is he, you know, what's going to happen from the league? It's all negative. Not one good thing comes out of this. So to have these type of things where everything is negative, I guess my mind is just too tactical for that. I don't like engaging in things where everybody loses. I think it's a stupid game to play. And they're playing a stupid game, and now they're going to get a stupid prize. The B's going to have less, whether it's access, whether it's something. Something negative will happen.
No, the B will continue to have major access because they're the only local newspaper that covers this team.
You're saying that, but just because of that doesn't mean that when they ask a question in a press scrum, they're not going to be just ignored. It doesn't mean that his teammates aren't just going to, on their own. If your friend, imagine this is your friend involved. You're telling me you're going to treat them with the same level of whatever that you had before for them? I wouldn't.
Your answers may be different, but you're not going to ignore them. That's the thing. Like, you can't – and I think the problem that a lot of people are having is that you can't dictate the media.
No.
You know what I mean? You can't,
I'm
you
not
can't
saying,
silence the media.
here's where me and you're – I guess I'm not saying this correctly, but I'm not saying that that's wrong. What I'm saying is that if this was my friend, if I'm whoever, DeMarcus's best buddy on the team, and now that reporter comes up to ask me a question, do you think I'm going to answer him with the same vigor and enthusiasm that I would with anybody else? I don't want him to have a quote. I don't want him to have a job because it's against my friend. I'm not saying that there's going to be some, you know, team-wide conspiracy. I'm just saying that's just how life is. When you screw with each other, nobody wins.
There has to be mutual respect on both sides. I think that's what you're trying to say.
Yeah, and I don't. And again, and I'm not saying that. I'm saying that. I guess that's a good way to say it. Respect has been lost on all sides in this, and so again, it's an everyone loses situation. The whole crew over at Sacramento Kings are going to have a rough time trying to clean it up, trying to make it okay. The whole crew at the B, the people who hate the B are still going to hate the B. The people who love the B are still going to love the B. The same with DeMarcus. People who love him, already hate him. There's nobody's changing sides over this so much as it just divided them further. And no one wins in a bigger divide.
I mean, for me, I think you hit on a lot of it. For me, it's just more of you're going to have people that are going to ask the tough questions. I mean, I read it. I mean, the person that wrote that piece, I believe, was Andy Ferrillo. You know, he wrote that DeMarcus was a cancer. He wrote some pretty, you know, intense thing about DeMarcus Cousins. Now, this one piece that is, you know, DeMarcus and Matt Barnes need to find different places to hang out. He didn't write anything bad. He brought up a bar fight, like you said, about another bar fight that happened in the same year, and it just so happened that, you know, his brother's name was brought into it. And while there was nothing bad that was said in that piece about DeMarcus's brother, except for the facts that happened, I do understand why DeMarcus is mad. He even said it to him. If you guys seen the video, he said, you know, say whatever you want about me, but don't talk about my family. And I think, again, maybe that the approach was wrong. But at the same time, there's other things that has happened that has drawn question. You, like I said, you can't silence media. You can't dictate how the media reports. Because if you do that, that is a penalty. We have a freedom of speech in this country, which we're so happy to have. And that's what the media is. It's being able to speak freely about what is happening. Now, media has changed. The media has changed, though. I mean, it's not – and I think that's what's sad. And I don't know if you guys have seen the same video that I'm about to bring up right now. But Denzel Washington talked about this just recently about how with the media today, it's – I want to be the first one that has it. I want to be the first one that's there. I can report it out first. I got it first. But sometimes being first – means you're missing some of the bigger picture that's there. And I think that's some things that certain people, things are happening where and then that affects how, you know, a player, a person that you're covering, whatever you're talking about, looks at you differently and finds that, like, I don't want to talk to you, because these are human beings. They are paid to be scrutinized, basically. And in their contract, they have to have media availability. It's in their contract that they have to give time 15 minutes after the game in the locker room with availability to the media. It's in their contract. It has to be there. So I don't know. I mean, for me, like, again, I'm not going to touch on it too much. My thing is that be right with what you're saying if you're going to report things like that. And just remember that they are people at the same time. But if you're going to go in with facts, I don't think you should ever pull back facts. I don't think you should ever hold what you have to say. But you might want to give warning. You might want to give, you know, talking to about whatever is going to be happening. I don't know the full story of what's going on. I'm not trying to get into that stuff because it's not about us. It's not about the King's Court. It's not about Sack King Nation. All I'll say is that things have changed now for, you know, both sides, whether it be the media and for the Kings, and there's going to be that split, and hopefully the Kings can resolve it in a nice, quick manner, and hopefully both sides can come to a great conclusion and everything can be wrapped up nicely. But yeah, I honestly think it's just – there's a lot of problems right now with people trying to be first and people just trying to get the clicks more than just trying to have the information straight. And people are trying to become more important about get their following up because of their opinion and not more about what's actually going on. And I think those are some issues that you're seeing right now.
All right, back to reality.
Ready for Kings Week? Ready for Kings Week?
Yep.
All right, now with that now out of the way, I think we've covered a lot of what's happened these last 2 weeks. It is now time to hop in the DeLorean, give the people what they want, and give them our Kings Week predictions. That's right, Joe. It's Kings Week time.
Give the people what they want.
Back to the future.
And here we go.
All right, Joe. There are three games on the docket this week, and I'm sorry to do this to you, buddy. And I'm sorry to do this to you listeners, because after one sound clip, we got to go to the other, because the first game comes on Tuesday against the Portland Trailblazers, and this is going to be our Game of the Week.
We can't have anyone freak out there, okay? We've got to keep our composure!
All right, guys, like I said, the Portland Trailblazers are up for the first game of the week. They're coming off the loss to the Golden State Warriors on Saturday night. They are currently ranked 8th in offensive efficiency rating, but they are ranked also dead last in defensive efficiency rating right now. They're going to possibly be without Al-Farouq Aminu. Update on his injury status closer to tip-off. Be sure to check out SackKingsNation.com for all the updates on those players. But, Joe, you see this matchup. You were there in Portland to see the Kings take the loss to this team earlier this year. They're coming into Sacramento. This game is in the Golden One Arena, or Golden One Center. What are your thoughts on just this game itself?
Man, it's it's so hard to predict what the Kings are going to do. Which Kings are going to show up? Is it going to be the ones that played the Grizzlies, or is it going to be the ones that played, today? And the question remains. But the bottom line: when they were in Portland and they played, they took it to overtime. They did an amazing job. They. I still think they should have had that game. There were a couple questionable calls at the end that I'm going to hold with me all year. But either way, they did lose it. At the same time, Portland comes into this with a 5-12 road record. They are not playing good on the road. And again, with that defensive efficiency of 110.3, they're the worst in the league. So if you can find any way to score, this is the team to score against. So saying that, I guess my thoughts are, is Rudy going to be healthy in time for the game?
I really hope so. I think, like we talked about earlier in the show, I think the Kings are missing Rudy Gay. I think they're definitely missing their second scoring option right now with Rudy being out and, you know, being hampered with injuries a little bit throughout the season. I mean, he's missed time this season already because of injuries. So I definitely think they're going to need him. And you're right. There were some questionable calls down the stretch in that game of why the Kings probably should have won it. And when the two-minute report came out, I believe that there were calls in favor of the Kings of how the team should have actually won that game. The technical foul on Cousins after Myers Leonard shoved him, I thought was questionable. There were a lot of things that were involved in this one. But with that now said, Joe, let's assume Rudy Gay is playing. Let's assume so, Al-Farouq Aminu is playing. What are your keys to the game?
Rudy Gay plays. My player of the game will be Rudy Gay. And the reason for that is, they're horrible at defense. The Portland Trailblazers are, you know, again, the worst in the league. But at the same time, they're doing decent against point guards. Where they are absolutely atrocious is against the small forward. They are...
What? They're atrocious against the centers. Atrocious.
I'll give you the exact numbers, brother. They're giving up, over the last five games, they're giving up 11.19 more points than average than the rest of the league to small forwards. That is where they are absolutely getting beat.
Again, though. This is what I'm saying, though, is because there's a chance Al-Farouq Aminu plays, and that's their best wing defender. So that's why I said, let's assume Rudy Gay is playing. Let's assume Al-Farouq Aminu is playing, who is their best wing defender, who they are missing. What would be your keys to the game? And I know you're talking about Rudy Gay. I was just saying, I think what you're trying to say is attack the wings. But I just want to let you know that we're going to assume Al-Farouq Aminu is playing in this prediction.
Still, I say attack the wings and get the rebounds. The Kings have been doing a really poor job of getting offensive boards. They've been doing a really poor job of getting defensive boards, for that matter. They're just not underneath the basket enough, and they need to get that. Small forward, power forward, and center. Playing it, you know. Get the wings and get underneath. No one at all in Portland is going to be able to stop DeMarcus Cousins. Never has been able to, never will be able to. The only way that they stop him is with technical fouls. So keep Boogie's head in the game, keep Rudy shooting, and those two things, you win this game.
My key to the game is going to almost be the same exact thing, but a little bit different. Be more aggressive. I think what this team is going to do is, like you said, they have no one that stops DeMarcus Cousins down low. The only way they stop him is if they get into his head and literally shove him around, try and get him out of this game, out of his comfort zone. DeMarcus Cousins has to be more aggressive from start to finish because there is no one on that team that can stop him. Mason Plumlee, barbecue chicken. Myers Leonard, honey barbecue chicken. I mean, it's literally like it's training day down there for him. It's a practice. It's a scrimmage. But when they're fouling and they're shoving you and they're trying to get you off balance, I mean, some of Myers Leonard's defense was terrible in that very first game. He was literally fouling him and he was getting no call. DeMarcus Cousins has to stay level-headed but be so aggressive to where they need to go double and triple team him, and I think it's going to come down to the other players to knock down the shots to win the game. But as long as they're attacking that paint and giving the ball to DeMarcus Cousins, it should be a win for the Sacramento Kings, in my opinion. Now, with that said, Joe, who is your FanDuel play of the night?
FanDuel play of the night is obviously DeMarcus Cousins with a heavy secondary on Rudy Gay.
My FanDuel play of the night is definitely going to be DeMarcus Cousins, but I'm not going to choose Rudy Gay as my second. He would be coming back from an injury, so that kind of scares me a little bit. If we're assuming Al-Farouq Aminu plays, he plays really good defense. That kind of scares me off a little bit, although Rudy Gay did play very well in that very first matchup. I have to go with Damian Lillard. That guy's still playing out of his mind. Although he's been a little bit up and down, he's recently just been killing it. 40 points and 10 rebounds just two games ago. I think this is a a team like in the Sacramento Kings where it's the matchup of the game is definitely going to be Garrett Temple against I think he's going to be guarding Damian Lillard, and you're going to see Darren Collison on CJ McCollum, and I think that you're going to have to see that starting backcourt. If they want to stay into it early, they have to get into that starting backcourt of Darren Collison and Garrett Temple early, and I think they have to start them. They need to start them in this game, and I think that's going to be a win as well. But I have to go Damian Lillard and DeMarcus Cousins for my FanDuel plays tonight. But Joe, I already said the Kings are going to win. Who do you think wins this game?
I hate to even say this. I think the Kings are going to win it. I believe that the right team shows up. I believe that with the home crowd, with them being at home, playing against a team that they almost beat on the road, I believe that they can pull this off again. Portland's 5-12 road record really gives me hope. And again, defensive efficiency being as bad as it is, I still believe that. But again, you know, which Kings team shows up, man? You wish you could ask them 5 minutes before the game, hey, who are you guys today? You know, what team are you? And get an answer before you make these predictions. But I'm going to go ahead and say the Kings for now.
So we're tied so far through the first game. We have two more left, so let's go ahead and move up to Wednesday, December 21st, when the Kings head up to Utah to face a very strong opponent in the Utah Jazz. The Jazz right now are currently ranked 6th in offensive efficiency rating, and you think they go down defensively? Oh, no, they're going up the rankings here. They are 4th. And defensive efficiency rating right now. They are questionable with what's going to happen with George Hill and if he's going to be playing. Alec Burks is currently going to be out of this game. Derek Favors is on a minutes restriction, but just here on Sunday night, he got 4 blocks in 13 minutes. So you know this guy is a factor no matter what. Joe, what are your thoughts against the matchup against a very strong and very interesting Utah Jazz team?
Utah Jazz on the defensive efficiency is going to smoke check this Kings team. There is no.
Oh my goodness.
There's not one position. There's not one position where these guys are really lacking. They're stopping everybody across the board. And man, I don't know. I keys to the game. Play better. I don't have one. Utah's been playing really well lately. Keys to the game, stop Gordon Hayward. The Kings are also doing a horrible job stopping opposing small forwards. If and when Rudy's playing, he needs to stop Gordon Hayward. He just needs to get in his face and not allow it.
I will say this. Both teams will be coming in on the second half of back-to-back. The Kings, I believe, have the easier opponent with the Portland Trailblazers, and they get to play at home while traveling to Utah. Utah Jazz, they're traveling from Golden State, so the travel distance is going to be the exact same thing for them. They're going to be probably leaving from the same exact airport. They're leaving from Golden State. They're playing Golden State the night before. That's going to be an up-and-down game. I think if the Kings can take advantage of the back-to-back effort, although they are also coming off the second night of a back-to-back, they have a chance of beating this team. I think you have to find a way to get Gordon Hayward out of his rhythm, and then after that, you need to find a way to get Rodney Hood out of his rhythm and try to let the point guards beat you. And I know that sounds really weird because Shelvin Mack has been playing well. Dante Exum has been showing signs. You know who else has been showing signs, Joe? Your boy, Joe Ingles. Joe Ingles, every time he's on the floor, has been showing glimpses of hope of being a passer, of being a broke homeless man's version of Gordon Hayward whenever he's had to miss time.
So, I mean, hey, he's no Isaiah Cannon, but
he's pretty good. I was high on this Utah Jazz team heading into the season. I thought they were going to be the third or fourth best team right now. I don't know if the Kings can beat them, but I think if there was ever a chance where they could, I think this is the night where they can do it because the Jazz are in for a big night against the Warriors on Tuesday. If they can go on back-to-back wins in these two games on Tuesday and Wednesday, I think they have a huge chance of making a strong push heading into January, especially after Christmas, to start putting some games together and really truly see if they should be in the conversation for playoffs. Because as much as we want to laugh it off and brush it off our shoulder, like, oh, the West is playing bad, no matter what you say about it, they are still in the hunt for the eighth. And I think that has to be in their mindset right now for a guy like DeMarcus Cousins, who only talks about, I want this team to start winning. I want to bring the Golden Era back to Sacramento. If they want to keep DeMarcus Cousins here, they need to start winning games. They need to start making the playoffs. This is the chance to do it. And I think that would be a great first year, even if it's a first round out, for Dave Yeager to be able to make the playoffs or at least compete for it all season long after February. I think this is where they can start doing it here on these games. With that all being said, Joe, what's your key to the game?
Key to the game, stop Gordon Hayward. Stop Gordon Hayward. Stop Gordon Hayward. If you can do that, you have a shot.
My key to the game is stop the perimeter, make them drive. I think what you've seen with this team is that they're constantly moving the basketball. They're becoming a slower version of the San Antonio Spurs. The ball is constantly moving. They're running in a different set. But with Gordon Hayward, they drive and kick. I want to stop the perimeter. So me, what I'm saying about that is, don't go all the way out there, but have a hand up to where your presence is felt, whether that means on Gordon Hayward or Rodney Hood or Shelvin Mack, or if George Hill plays, that's just going to be another dynamic. That's just going to be a huge question mark. What's going to go on there? And I think the Kings are also going to have to take advantage of tempo. They need to set the tempo, and they need to set it early. They need to have the Jazz be off balance, whether that means changing up the tempo a little bit. Don't play into the slow down, let me try and grind it out, because defensively the Utah Jazz want you to play that way. They want you to try and slow it down. They want you to try to bang into them because they are ready for you, whether it be with Derek Favors, whether it be with a guy like Boris Diaw or Rudy Gobert, who's going to be the help side blocker, and he's been playing well this season as well. So I think you have to drive them off the perimeter and get ready for the kick out, because they're not looking to do the layup. They're looking to drive, kick, drive until they see a wide open layup or Rudy Gobert can get the dunk. So they're driving around. They're constantly passing the basketball. They're going to make the extra pass no matter what. So it's all about staying grounded and making them take long mid-range jumpers and not three-point shots. And that's going to be my key to the game. Joe, who is your FanDuel play of the night?
FanDuel play of the night, although I'd like to see him stopped, is Gordon Hayward. I don't see them stopping him, so I see that as cash money being made.
My FanDuel play of the night is going to actually be Rodney Hood. I think Rodney Hood, the fact that he put the ball on the floor like Gordon Hayward, I think a lot of the tension is going to be on Gordon Hayward. And this is only if George Hill doesn't play, because George Hill may be in the running for my FanDuel play of the night as well. But the fact that Rodney Hood can be a facilitator, he can knock down three-point shots, he's a decent rebounder. I really, really like Rodney Hood. I'm a huge Rodney Hood fan. I think that he can put up points in a hurry. I think he has to be your FanDuel play of the night, especially because he can also play the passing lanes very well, gets his steals, and he's a capable shot blocker from the shooting guard position. And the Kings love to give points to the shooting guards, so there you go. So that's going to be my FanDuel play of the night. Now, with all that being said, Joe, it's the second night of a back-to-back. They're both on the second night of a back-to-back. Can the Kings take advantage of the Utah Jazz? Who do you have winning this one?
Yeah, the Jazz win this one. I hate to say it. I hate being negative, but the Kings are not pulling this off.
I really want to go different from you, and I hope we go different in the last one, but I don't think I can do it. I think I also have to agree and say that I think the Utah Jazz won this one, and I don't think it's going to be a big difference, but you know what, Joe? Forget this. It's only three games. I can make my way back. And I believe in this Kings team right now. I think that they're going to want to win some games. I think they want to go to Sacramento Kings defeat the Utah Jazz on Wednesday night on the second night of a back-to-back. That is our first difference of opinion here on Kings Week, and we still have one game left. And that game comes on
Friday, December 23rd. At Minnesota.
Thank you. Friday, December 23rd at Minnesota. Again, another game on the road against another slightly tough team. I would say more of a potential team. The Minnesota Timberwolves right now are currently ranked 10th in offensive efficiency rating, but ranked 27th in defensive efficiency rating. So they're not good defensively, but offensively they can get some things going because they have not a lot of nice offensive weapons. They seem to be healthy right now. Tom Thibodeau has been trying to make things work. But again, it's kind of me basketball right now out there. The ball just doesn't move. I think the Kings can try to take advantage of that. But now I'm not going to harp on it too long, Joe, because I want to hear your opinion. What are your thoughts on this game against the Wolves?
My thoughts on against the Wolves. One, attack the wings. The shooting guard position, no one stops it in Minnesota. And the other thing is they're 3-10 at home. They're playing bad basketball. They are not playing well. And if you can just take advantage of that one time, just one time, guys, just pull it together long enough to beat this Minnesota team. You know, you're going to have the cat on Boogie thing. That's fun to watch. You're going to have a couple other things going on. You got to get somebody in that shooting guard position that can shoot. You got to get somebody out there that's going to actually score the ball. Please, please start Garrett Temple. Please. For me. For the fans. for those of us who want to see a win here. Please. Can you not do anything silly here? That'd be great. That'd be just great. No, honestly, the shooting guard position is where you need to attack. Small forward a little bit, but really the guards, point guard and shooting guard. You need to have somebody come out there who's going to move that ball and score from those positions, which the Kings can't seem to do, but hopefully in this one game they can pull it off.
Fun fact, I won my PS4 because of the Kings versus Timberwolves and Gorgui Dieng. Just so you know, you took away my two tickets to Miami with that useless rebound at the end of the game. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, he was. We were sitting there live, and he was pretty unhappy. My 17-year-old making fun of him still makes me smile. But
thanks. No, I had that. I'm not gonna lie though. I had that section jumping for a second. I was so hyped in that game. Like I was like, I was the one starting the Rudy chants. You could hear my voice throughout the entire Golden One Center. I was so loud in that game.
It was the first time. See. Vince has ever been louder than me, and it's because he finally had something on the line. He finally cared as much as some of us. But
normally when I go to these games, I kind of just watch. I like to more of just like see what's going on and try and read what's going on and be like, oh, why would they do that? Why are they doing that? And because of where we sit in the games, we actually see the huddles like perfectly. It's amazing. But I like to see how engaged the games are. But in this one specific game, I remember just – all I needed was no assists.
Just Rudy Gay to outscore Gorgui Dieng in the last minute of the game.
That was not it. I just needed Gorgui Dieng not to get an assist or not to get a rebound in the final possession. Andrew Wiggins has the ball. He shoots it in the air with like 3 seconds left. I was like, cool, game over. No one boxes out Gorgui Dieng. He grabs the ball and tries to tip the ball in to tie it. He airs it, but he got the rebound. Two tickets to Miami, completely disappears. I'll say this, though. I'm not mad at the fact that I got the PS4 virtual reality pack because although a trip to Miami would have been amazing, I now have something that will last with me forever. Now, yeah. With that all said, here is my
that ride home. That ride home, you guys can't even imagine the face he was making. I loved it. My 17-year-old was on him so hard. I've never been more proud of my kid. Just riding Vince. Just turning Vince purple the whole way. It was beautiful. But all right, let's get on. Who do you think wins this game?
Oh, my key to the game first, Joe. Oh, rushing me through this here.
Do that. All right. Let's go in order, I guess. That makes sense.
Yeah. So, first off, Michael, just so you know, you still owe me 10 more push-ups. don't play me in block check. I'm a really good player. anyways, my key to the game is going to be attack the perimeter, kind of like what Joe is. I think you definitely need to try to get into the face of Ricky Rubio. He is good at picking the pockets of point guards. He is good at reading the passing lane, but what he's not good at is taking the contact. And I think you definitely need to figure out how to do that on a consistent basis. Although Zach LaVine is a nice offensive player, he is terrible defensively, and the Kings need to take advantage of that as well, whether it be with a guy like Aaron Aflalo, who I think can post him and give him that dirty work, although you have not been seeing him play very much recently, and whether it be Garrett Temple getting into him on the defensive side of the ball and making him feel that presence. I think you have to do that right away. And then on top of that, I think the key of the game is going to have to be slow down Karl Anthony Towns. And I think DeMarcus Cousins has that ability too. We've talked about so many times on this show, and people still underestimate him as a positional defender. I think they need to stop doing that because DeMarcus Cousins as a positional defender is really, really good. So I think that has to be your key to the game, is attack the perimeter as best you can. It's kind of the same thing with the Utah Jazz, but slightly different in the meaning of it all. So I think that's going to be my key to the game. Joe, who is your matchup of the game?
It depends. Is Bill Kennedy or Courtney Kirkland going to be reffing this game? Because if so, okay. I'd say it's them against – if it is, I'd say it's them against Boogie against against Cat. But it's kind of a dual matchup. Again, it's DeMarcus and Cat on a who can stop who, and then it's whoever can get the ball in from the guard positions. So it's kind of an odd, you know, I'm giving you too much there. But I guess, I'm gonna say my FanDuel plays are going to be Garrett Temple and Ben McLemore, because they're going to be cheap and you can get them both. But, again, play of the game is going to go to whether or not they can stop Karl Anthony Towns.
My player of the game is going to be Rudy Gay. Or my FanDuel play of the game is going to be Rudy Gay. The other one's going to be Gorgui Dieng. I'm not going through this again. I'm having both of them in my lineup this time. I'm not going through the hassle of being like, I need one or the other. Both these guys are going to be in my FanDuel lineup. Why? Because what the Wolves did over and over against the Kings, and I understand why the Kings did it, but they did it in such a bad way, and I think they're going to consistently do it to them, is when Rubio had the ball or Chris Dunn had the ball, they got a screen, or Wiggins for that matter, they got the screen from Gorgui Dieng, and then they would sag underneath it to have Wiggins get the ball, and then they would show on the double, so they have to give up the drive. And Gorgui would just slide over to a pop. And I think that's where you saw him get a lot of his mid-range jumpers. Plus, with a lot of the distraction being on Karl Anthony Towns and DeMarcus Cousins, there's going to be open rebounds for Gorgui to get. I think that's where Kosta Koufos is going to have to get into play. And I'm glad I brought him up, because that's going to be my matchup of the night, which is going to be Kosta Koufos on Gorgui Dieng. Now, with all that being said, Joe, I went through that rapidly fast because it looks like we are running out of time here. Who do you have winning this one?
No, you go first on this one.
Oh, no, sir. Ladies first.
Hey, I've gone first on all of them. It's your turn.
All right. Beauty before age, I guess, in this one.
He thinks he's beautiful, people. He thinks he's beautiful.
I am. I do. Thank you so much. I am going to go with a Sacramento Kings win. I think the Kings can take it out, take the win, just because I think they could take advantage of the defensive woes of the Minnesota Timberwolves. They have such a bad problem right now, kind of like what Denver does right now. I think Denver is getting a little bit better with Jokic not being in the starting lineup, Gary Harris being back. But the basketball is moving. But in Minnesota, you've seen glimpses of it with Ricky Rubio being there, but they don't use Ricky Rubio to his fullest abilities right now, because I just don't think he's a good mesh with that team and how they run it. It's really my turn mentality out there, whether it be Wiggins, Towns, or Levine. And so I think you can have the Kings take advantage of it. I mean, we have to remember, in that game in the Golden Center where they got their – this is the team they got their first win against. They held them to 13 points in that third quarter. I think you can see that happening again, because if the shots aren't falling, the Kings take advantage of that. This is a young team. Get into them early. I think they figured out what Garrett Temple can do, because that can take off the edges, whether it be on Wiggins or on Levine, to take that offensive spark away. And it just comes down to DeMarcus Cousins and Karl Anthony Towns. So on that note, like I said, I'm going to have the Kings taking the W.
All right, you talked enough for the both of us. I'm just going to say the Kings win this. Two in a row on the road is my prediction.
So I have them going on a 3-game winning streak this week.
I think you're starting to regret that immediately. That's good. That makes me happy. I said that wrong. I have them winning the first one at home, losing against Utah at home, and then losing against Utah on the road, and then winning against the Timberwolves. So 2 out of 3 ain't bad. That's my actual prediction.
So yeah, I have a 3-game winning streak heading into Christmas. That's pretty cool.
I hope you're right. Joe, I'm willing to sing another karaoke if you're right. I wouldn't even be upset.
I'm glad you brought that up, Joe. So before we went off for our little 2-week hiatus, Joe lost Kings Week again for the second consecutive time. For those who don't know, and you guys could check out our YouTube channel, youtube.com/ThatKingsNation. Go on there. You'll see the video of Joe getting covered and becoming a human hot dog. It was hilarious. His son continuously wanted to put relish in his toes after the video was taken, and that was funnier in itself. because then Joe flung the relish and it actually got on his wife's shoulder and almost on her face, and it was so funny. But now he lost again, and now we need you guys to vote between karaoke or rap. What, or he has to write a rap. So either Joe has to sing karaoke on the show, which Drew Runberg once had to do, or he has to write a rap, and he has to rap on this show. We want to hear from you guys. Hashtag the King's Court on Facebook and on Twitter with your decision. Be like, just put Joe, at Sac Sports Morgan, rap. Hashtag the King's Court. At Sac Sports Morgan, you know, karaoke. Hashtag the King's Court. We also want to hear all of your guys' thoughts on the show
as
well.
Make it simple. Make it simple. It's either sing or rap because nobody can spell karaoke.
Can you spell karaoke right now, Joe?
It starts with a K and it ends with sing.
No, it doesn't end with sing. What? What? Spell karaoke, Joe.
That was called sarcasm, Vince. I'll hold up a sign next time you're in the studio.
Thank you. Thank you. You know I'm not, you know I'm not good at that, Joe. I'm very bad at sarcasm.
We got to wrap this up. We're going way past time, so wrap it up, Vince. What are your final thoughts?
Final thoughts. Kings are going to go on a three-game winning streak, so I don't have to lose any of these games to Joe. Joe, your final thoughts, where can fans find you online, and which one would you rather do, karaoke or rap?
You know, I don't care. I'm an amazing individual with talent in every way, so I'll do whatever you people tell me to do. I don't care. It's funny either way. So you can find me online at Sac Sports Morgan. You can always find everything that we're doing on SacKingsNation.com, and you can always find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, all the different places that we are. And you can always find us in Section 207, screaming like maniacs. So that's all I got, Vince. Wrap it up, brother.
You guys can follow me on all social media platforms of at VM Center. Be sure to bookmark the site, SacKingsNation.com. Also, guys, check out all of our sponsors, whether it be BrickHouseIndustries.com, with all their FanDuel.com, with all of their fun games, daily fantasy news. And I believe that is also until next time, Sacramento Kings fans. Bye-bye.
Feels so good to be back. Napa
know-how. A Napa guy knows that by the foot, there's no better ride than an old station wagon. Room for six people facing forward, two people facing backward, and a whole lot of luggage, lumber, and bicycles haphazardly strapped to the roof. If you can parallel park that beast, you can park anything. And with some quality parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep your land ship running longer, stronger. It's not obsolete. It's a rare treasure. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how.